held greeting things just before we're doing the spot, there's a couple of methods. This one is thank you for alerting us to the new revised evidence from just in those stations we were aware of that found it. Second one is, and I just wanted like to ask Dr. Reed to continue the question I asked him this morning about the Eleanor Brown point. And there's last I think about the same may have happened at Kingston. And Dr. Reed, is that a similar situation?
Exactly, yes.
So in your point of view, the Eleanor ends at the township zone boundary and the special zone boundary, is that?
Well, that's about endemic.
So, are you telling us that there's been no assessment done of that, where the boundary may be there?
No, I would have assumed simply at the time that both Kingston's village zone and the township zone were simply excluded from the O&L by the city zone.
Yes. That's
adjacent to the township zone that we've talked about this morning.
All of those would be O&L.
Mm-hmm. So that is pushing that little bit. So
yes.
Triangle of
this.
Ms. Scott, I wonder if it might be worth your while examining whether that is actually of a government mistake that we've rectified under the rules, but that does succeed to seems to me there's no one disadvantaged by making it clear that the boundary of the O&L does not apply to the low density residential zone at Harper's Point. And probably, although it's not part of the one, but the township zone at Kingston, and particularly the special zone, that might be slightly different. There's no submissions on it, but it seems really bad to do a variation to do something which is self-evident, if you like. Yes. It might be worthwhile checking if there are other any other areas in the district with this same
then you can get this. Mr. Chair, I haven't read the latest version, so I don't feel confident about the detail of all of the evidence. And the principle of having the zone is already established. So, you know, I apologise, but I didn't read the position and didn't read the evidence. I did have a small one. I did have a small point of clarification, why it was so long. Mr. Mander, actually, is there one underpass or two? Because I saw two options, and when we were on site and we were taking the rounds, it was explained that there would be two underpasses.
There's only one.
It's the sort of thing that I feel is put that far.
No.
It's
too shy on the plan.
Perhaps.
on the latest. I thought you were told that there was one system and one law to be built.
No,
you
wasn't.
No?
None of
them. None of them. Sorry, I can't hear you.
There's an intention to build one, but there was discussion for seeking.
On the question, you must have ended up on page 3 of your battle evidence. Yes, especially with Bristol Road, would that road anything to service Bristol Bay Station? Is that correct?
The boundary of the station
and that
station
can
cross.
I think on the trend on the other side
of the Hudson Valley Station as well.
And that's the legal road there along that way. That was with the road was entirely from the station, but the option for the council to look at stopping it from the field and the fuel. Can serve on the north of access through that route?
Yes, I believe so. My main doubt, which I just don't know, is whether there are any walking tracks that are going access to so it would have had a public access function. So that would be my main concern.
This is unclear on the evidence I provided with the rest of the
paper. My reference to Bristol Road as links to access road status does appear to get quite distinct control from the UTA. But my understanding of that is that it doesn't apply to council roads. So that's really what we, it seems like that was an area that was outside that control of the UTA.
So in paragraph 18, you give us all those percentages as a summary of it. This is equivalent to urban development. And one of the numbers that obviously it is, but what I want to explore with you is the sort of scale of that. It's not a, you know, Gibson's not urban as a whole. So I mean, if you get, what I'm looking at is that you can get down to very high percentages in some very, very small areas. Thank you. What I haven't got my head around is how big the activity area is in the region.
Have you seen the most recent evidence of the structure planet?
No, that's the one that I've only.
That's the one that I've
worked out over the last
month. That's right. And that structure plan on the table, that was the year in which the activity was. And it also looks at the percentage flight coverage on the future.
So that plan is, and which is that the new plan?
This is the 19th of July, July that came in with the legal permission and with amended provisions as well. So I'm asking you a question, and they are the pods, the activity areas, are pointing to that sort of flight coverage to be urban. Urban. And if you look at the structure plan, they are quite large areas as far as I'm concerned. You know, the 1.2 hectares add up to a total of 6.23 hectares. And they were quite spread out, some of them were quite spread out along the road. So
well, that's my point, really. Partly where I'm coming from, because they spread out along the road, you know, adding them together doesn't tell me anything. Because they're not added together when on site. So in context, is it urban development? Are they individually?
This is where I was looking at it, pods of an urban nature.
Would it? It's big enough to be of an urban nature, and would it be your view that it's urban sporadic? Sprawl, that sort of
thing. Well, it's just that the shape of the road, but because of the shape of these pods, they do tend to follow the road, even though they're set, some of them are well set back. They do follow the road. But it has, I have to say that AA3, which is on the river side of the road, is below an escarpment, so you would not use it. That one would use it as a road. That one would not be from the road. AA3. Let's see what it's done.
My one says 5.
Oh, 5, sorry, 5. AA5. So that one you would be visible. And I think in response to my rebuttal evidence, AA3, originally in the submission, was one long length. And I've cut it up to try and reduce the sprawl. And you still got a lot, but although they have extended it behind the commercial zone as well, which was an original submission to be, I think, open air concerts. And so it's still, to me, it's really well stretched along that length of highway. Like, it would be pods for you to sprawl. And it's just, when I just thought with the comparison of the whole subzone and saying, well, we've got only 5% total. But either way, gives none of them the perfect picture because reading the coverage over the whole zone, 5%, when they are in pots, doesn't give us full
amount of effect. Isn't that very reasonable what they're going to do? They're not going to go draw, let alone themselves. Is there a figure which would be more specific?
In terms of the area, total area of
within a pond state. Obviously 40% is very high. But is there a lower figure? They may well come back with something.
Right.
In which case you'd have to respond to it and reply.
Yes. In terms of figure, I have to look at, you know, the objectives of the primary zone as well, because it's a sub-zone of the primary zone, which is more about horticulture, and so I think the level of development is going beyond what that.
The answer may be that none of it's acceptable. If that's your answer, then that's your answer.
Well, I have to accept that there is a consent that can grasp it. But in reviewing that consent,
a maximum that the hearing panel can say.
The consent is as much as you can live with.
Well, I think consent is the objective of the design. Consent is not only the area, but I don't think they meet the truth. It doesn't mean that there may be room for, I think I talked about a padded through plate. we don't know what size they might be in terms of, but we haven't seen the site coverage, 20% site coverage is quite a large area. 1 hectare building on that area. That land across the road from them.
I can't see that they've given themselves a lot of rooms.
That's right.
And are more than them, they ultimately choose to use. And obviously, it's reasonable for you to look at the national because
we
can
do that. Because when it comes down to a consenting process, although there may have been intention not to develop at that level, a consenting process will stay 30%. Nothing to say, it should be much, much less than that.
Is there any way that you could modify this package so that you don't actually have permissible coverage at all? And leave it to be all worked out and assessed at the time?
Well, if we're going to work into a consenting stage, there's a consent process rather than...
Well, what is the consent status of everything in this zone? They claim for a permitted zone.
No, well, I guess the other thing, in terms of the sub-zone provision, they had provided for buildings in A1, 2, 6 and 8 to be controlled, so they are controlled. But even though they talk about location scale and external adherence, I think it would be very difficult to control it in terms of density, if there's a rule that says the density of the pod can be up to...
So, yeah, I understand. So if you moved it to restricted discretion and took out those coverage...
But then you'd be restricting it to coverage, site coverage. But then I don't think that gives a clear indication to anyone processing the consent what level of discretion you gain. You know, that if site coverage is shown as being...
Well, if site coverage weren't the right list, it would be something else, whatever site coverage is meant to achieve.
I just think if you get to that level of restriction, you may as well have a full discretion.
Well, okay.
In which case, you end up in the rural zone, or maybe the building or status. And I think sort of the primary zone, the main zone, there it's discretionary activity, which is why they managed to get a consent for what they have. So you could argue that on that basis, maybe the current zone does provide for them to apply for consent, but there's discretion on site coverage and those sort of things. I think it's clear that but when you start to restrict discretionary activities to matters that have wide effect, then you've got to ask the question why it restricts. So site coverage can have behind it the length of the building and all those sorts of things as well. You control that, is that going to be?
Well, it doesn't mean site coverage to try and control something like that.
No.
I thought that was going to be an issue, I'd do it more directly.
But then you're getting down to a whole lot of lists of what are you going to restrict the discretion to
and just exploring it, if you want.
Oh, yeah.
Because I agree with you that this is very permissible. And possibly far more permissible than they have in mind to use.
Because even when if it's a restricted discretion activity in A3, A4, and 5, the discretion talks about cumulative areas of the residential units, location scale and height. Location scale, I don't know, height would be there if they've got a height limit.
Explore that on the day.
But the location scale can be quite broad too. What you might try and control and for what purposes. Yeah. Can get to a level where it requires a lot of discretionary
But essentially you're saying that on what we know, not what we have in front of us, that you couldn't recommend a different site coverage limit as being appropriate.
Based on these comments?
Yeah.
That's the problem. Just because it can be more than just like coverage, like we're talking about length of building. Especially if you reduce the site coverage, you still might not last too long. That's the building that a little bit of a struggle on.
No, a building lease is not a building lease. There's nothing in there about building lease now.
I don't think so. But I think they do control scale. I'm not sure whether that would cut up the building.
I mean, is there a level of site coverage which would be acceptable as a controlled activity, but anything over and above that defaulting to another sphere, rather restricted or full discretion?
I mean, that could be quite limited in terms of flexibility of design as well. Because it may be that in a certain part of these pods, greater than, I'm not sure how, if you limit the site coverage, then you have control over where from that zone, and that pod they can go. Might be tricky under the control activity to do that. But it's like a building over here, and the consent of authorities being able to be over here. Because that can be done through a control activity.
Well,
is that granting the consent? What does it apply to?
So the test that I'm talking about would simply be a coverage problem. If you've got, 5%, 10%, then you're automatically up to the next level of consent status.
Look, yeah. I have to rethink about that because coverage of it can be quite a crude control. That's all you can have. When you're dealing with the landscape issues.
Yes. Especially when the limits are as high as they are.
Otherwise we could have site coverage for the rural area, 0.0 or something, 1%.
Well, some district plans do. The Christchurch City District plans have site coverage for rural, I think it's 5%. And
that's also controlled by how, with this one dwelling per farm, so that's why they don't get to that level.
I was listening and wondering two things. But the first thing is it possible to specify the dimensions of the building platform and the number of building platforms to pop? And would that achieve the goal?
I'm just trying to remember.
I don't know the details, so some question of that. Sorry, John.
Because I think the current consent has built
itself. The consent might because the government has.
Because
the subzone has. Nominate the, right. The maximum dimension of the building factor when the number of platforms is hot.
What kind of? Yeah, I'm sure.
Point out the evidence.
there's the metal site.
The metal site is through here. The sun zone is the triangle on the east side of Bristol Road.
Yes.
And that's the eastern end of the sun zone. And through here. So the sun zone is about 10% of the triangle. So my guess, maybe it can be about 10%, so I'm going to vote back. But refer to the sun zone of 123 hectares, so presumably the total zone is in the sun zone. A lot of it is coming from the hilly country as well, in fact.
Well, we are going from the back road and the back behind here, that's all the way down pretty much to the sort of bottom down with the bone. That's just that you can't see any of it from the main road.
Just to confirm with Mr. Mander that the two underpasses, would they, if they were to happen, would they satisfy your concerns about traffic, or is there the road, of course, but otherwise?
My concerns relate to access on the state highway. And that's a combination of new accesses or I think similar to the other things that we've already talked about, the uncertainty as to how that may happen, the car raised, the safety issues that are already present along the stretch of highway. It does, I think, require some control when one thing opposed to under lockdown.
Mr. Chair, can I just check with the Secretary about getting where that I've lost it again.
Oh.
I'm trying with you. I lost my
does not see how the ODP river is designed to provide some new proposals. The current wording of the zoning project is referred to the existing recreational and physical facility and their extension. Provisions of the rural business zone are also very uncertain in terms of the development capacity that can be provided. Although it appears that the development is to be explicitly controlled through a structure plan, the activities and standards of the zone do not refer to the structure plan. Evidence from this review includes assessments of the proposed zone and the strategic provisions of the PDP. This is in reply to the panel's minute regarding request to rezone land that with an operative zone. I consider that the strategic provision can be summarised as directing that diversification of an ONL into tourism or residential activity should only occur at a scale and in a location where the landscape value, including the natural character of the lakes and rivers in the margin, are sustained, not degraded. Apart from the ONL development, we have identified a proposal for a wedding being used to place multiple purpose building. None of the submitters have provided sufficient details such as a structure plan to assess the proposal for best strategic direction. Also, in my view, none of the submitters have provided a package of rural businesses zone provision, including the zone objectives and policies, that will fit within the structure of the PDP. Although evidence for lockdown station has suggested inserting into the rural business provision controls for maximum footprint and height and a requirement that no buildings at the wide creek site be visible from the state highway, the rural business provisions have not been amended by the PDP. I still have concerns regarding natural hazards for lockdown station and COVID effects of the loss of productive flat land for Lake Wakatawi station. I also have concerns regarding natural hazards. Regarding natural hazards and traffic issues for Tiana development, like if these are addressed by considering, there would be merit in rezoning the northwestern parcel of land and the Beach Bay Recreation Reserve to rural visitor by way of variations provided for the proposed wedding venue slash multiple purpose building. In the meantime, confirmation of the rural zone would allow for full discretionary consent for visitor accommodation activities. However, I maintain my recommendation to reject the rezoning of the southeastern portion of the Beach Bay Recreation Reserve and the Margin Strip. That's the Waterview Station. In response to the submission by the planning station seeking two fund-based areas, as included in Plan Change 30 of the McKenzie District Plan, I am concerned about the proposal that introduces an additional framework in the PDP into the PDP without critical guidance as to how it might be applied. Plan Change 30 has been through 10 years of litigation, and the provisions have only now been finalised, and the identification of fund-based areas as the actual areas on the land is still ongoing. I consider that fund-based areas have been developed for the specific issues in the McKenzie Basin and the expansive view. When an interval of clustering development, including farm buildings in high rural areas, where the PDP includes clustering as an assessment matter in the rural zone, it may not always be the better option.
Request the rezoning of two areas of land between Kalrau River and Kingston Township. Am I
It's a long stretch of road.
I mean that there's an area, Y Creek, and one to the south of the Devil's Staircase. Yes, and that they gave choice of rural residential or rural visitor zone as an option. While I do consider that both of these sites could absorb some development, I'm opposed to the rezoning requested. The submission also seeks to the inclusion of farm-based areas within the PDP to enable farm-related development on large properties. And I consider that this idea has merit, but that the controls regarding location and area are insufficiently developed at this stage to support its establishment.
Karen, my name is Scott. 447 was sought for rezoning on two areas of Loch Linney Station, such that two farm-based areas, if the areas were identified on the property, or alternatively, that those two areas be rezoned operative rural visitor zone. The submission also sought that the PDP should provide for FBA on large rural properties over 1,000 hectares. My evidence and sheets did not oppose the rezoning of the two areas sought on the submitted site, based on the lack of Indigenous ecological values present. Subsequent landscape planning evidence filed by Mr. Ben Estee presented amended boundaries for the two FBAs to incorporate new land now not assessed in my primary evidence. The proposed northern area is shown in Appendix 1 of Mr. Estee's evidence and is provided in the context of the original submission area in Figure 1 below. The amended area extends the original area sought in submission 447 further to the west towards Lake Wakatipu. The revised northern area is approximately 2 hectares and includes an area of approximately 5,000 square metres covered in regenerating indigenous vegetation dominated by bracken, but also including other indigenous broadleaf hardwood species such as Petosporum tenuifolium, Coriaria species, Manuka, Crosmic panqua, Grisolidia lizarris, Matagari and cabbage tree. This regenerating indigenous vegetation borders a marginal strip that contains large mature southern rata. The whole site lies within a land environment that has less than 20% indigenous vegetation remaining. The regenerating indigenous vegetation within the site is a valuable buffer to the southern rata stand on the lake shore. It is locally and regionally significant due to its rarity in the southern lakes, Lake Wakatipu, Lake Waikawa, and Lake Hawea. I therefore consider the area shown as regenerating indigenous vegetation on Figure 1 should remain zoned as rural, as in my view the zoning provides the best mechanism of protection for this vegetation. The proposed farm-based activity area rural visitor zone, located in the vicinity of the existing Loch Linney homestead, has also been varied since the original submission. The proposed area shown in Appendix 3 of Mr. Espy's evidence extends the proposed area further south across developed pasture and removes the area from the lower reaches of the gully that runs through the site. I can confirm that the amended area has been developed pasture activity and indigenous vegetation has been removed. From an ecological perspective, I do not oppose the rezoning of the amended area.
The proposal to alter the boundaries can be a reason to scope problem.
I did raise it.
Well, I think the original submission
may have been wider.
Okay. This is the original submission based on. And the original submission had the
areas, the maximum areas.
Now they're differently.
Yeah,
which extended outside the original area.
Mm-hmm.
What about the question of construction?
Yes, we did reserve our permission for us to continue my new submission in terms of the submission providing the submission and the boundaries of the island that area for review and rezoning area.
So, well, maybe see what they say on that question and then you'll respond and reply.
That was the
intention. Mm-hmm. Not the truth of the nature of it. How's it now?
Well, the amended, both of the amended boundaries, some, I guess, shrink the boundaries and in other areas they are expanded. And there are, in terms of the implications of those movements, some are closer to the road alongside the lake, and it's also close to the lake as well, whereas others in other parts of the road there is movement away from them. So in terms of what it is moving towards and away from, in terms of existing built form and, you know, public access and places, et cetera, does sort of change and change very differently. If you took a very strict view of interpretation on scope in the case where you put out here that there is no scope for the change, but you then need to look, I guess, in terms of whether there would be any natural justice issues in terms of the immediate release, particularly where the commission does talk about the station as a whole in terms of its position, but then in terms of the actual release itself, it is focused on the two circles on this map that are included in the primary commission.
To part three of the submission to the Queen's Government that the PDP should provide for areas within large farms, where the original homes used staff accommodation and farm buildings are permitted or controlled in the middle of the McKinley district farm based areas.
That's the farm based areas.
I mean, that's a question of whether they rely on the information they control.
In terms of the actual release they asked for in terms of that station is specific to the areas on the map. So they specifically asked for either the farm-based areas overlay, I guess, or over the rural zone or a red zone that
So those are the same. So the farm-based areas would be the same as the
Farm-based is their preference for the areas that they've identified.
The areas that they've identified are the same, either or.
Yes. But they've identified two areas with preferences for those areas to be farm-based areas under the rural zone. As a second option, it's to retain them rural business. Even in the original submission, they accepted that rural business probably wasn't the most appropriate zone for the purposes they were wishing to. But that's what they were wishing to understand.
In paragraph 25 of the summary, there's quite a helpful sentence about how you make decisions. The strategic provisions can be summarised as directing that the diversification of an area now into tourism or recreation or residential activity should only occur at a scale and in the location of the landscape that is sustained and not degraded. In the case of Loch Linley, Dr. Reed was saying it could absorb some development. So he reckons with Gibson Valley argument how much. This is in the wider issue, of course, is how to enable the future of these properties in an economy where pastoral farming is probably a lifestyle rather than a profit-making pitch.
What it comes down to achieve that strategic approach to zoning for this piece of land is the appropriate method. Because the rural residential, the rural zone does provide for the activity, discretionary, I understand. And so yes, although this area could absorb some development, I think Cooper is talking about the Homestead area more so than the White Creek. Station on the White Creek area. Question of whether, in terms of scale, in terms of providing for that activity, whether it needs to be through a zoning the rural business of the one that's in front of us, or the rural position. Whether it needs to be achieved through a zoning change, whether it can be achieved through current provision, in terms of assessing how much that land can absorb.
So Dr. Reed might be able to help you, because I see this word absorb all the time, at least. No one even knows what it means. So you said it, in this case, could absorb some zone. Did you have something in mind for what that development might be? When you're doing your assessment, how do you do that?
Well,
Well, I guess that I look at the site and I think about what might be facilitated, what might be made possible, and how I imagine it would be arrayed and what the potential effects of that could be. When I said in regard to these areas of Northern Pin development, I think with regard to the White Creek site, I'm not sure if my assessment's been covered by this or not, but I did a pre-application meeting with the Scots a number of years ago when they were looking at building their retirement home there. And so I guess that although it's close in its central area, that that was more, I hadn't imagined that would be a homestead there, and I think they might have just talked about that in there. Evidence actually that that was their intention there. My main concern there was that they had said that they're proposing a rule that no development be visible from the state highway, which I don't think they can possibly achieve on that site. But because it might be made invisible from the state highway directly to the east, but not from the south. With regard to the other area, it's a relatively, I mean, it's the central part of the farm is probably the most productive territory of the farm there, but it's quite modified. It already has a number of buildings I could conceptualise a similar cluster to the one that already exists there, perhaps duplicated in that area, without it starting to feel like a little village or a hotel encampment or something like that, plus without it having adverse visual effects on the public using the highway, which would be the only people with the having visual effects, visual amenity effects on them. Is that helpful?
Yes, that is helpful. Just on that, in your rebuttal evidence, in paragraph 8.36, you refer to that land and you say that if it can absorb development, but then you go on to say that it should comply with the same controls as in the O&L. I just wondered why, if it was able to absorb development, why I needed to be in trouble from that one. It's page 33.
Oh, thank you.
And it's 8.37.
Basically what I'm saying is that I think that under the cut that it is for them to approach the summary in the application for a rezoning.
There's a scale issue that like for small development, it's only a small amount that could develop by consent rather than can absorb enough development that needs to be separate zoning.
Yes.
Essentially what you're saying.
Yes, that's exactly right. I mean, the proposal to create the farm based area concept I think is completely sound, but I think there's an enormous amount of work that has to go into defining how it is and the sort of sizes that they were suggesting are appropriate in the Mackenzie Basin. I have not seen anywhere appropriate in this district.
What do you see as different about, what seems to be different about McKinsey?
Well, and this is an impression rather than based on knowledge, but my understanding of McKinsey Basin is that it's much more rolling, then you get the general impression from the highway. So there are areas into which you could put development without, you can focus development without it having a border, and if you want a border landscape. But we're here, it's much more fine grained than you get even on the blue catchment.
Clearly there's some things that just need a strict answer, but of course the lakes, for example, has quite similarities.
Yes, I'm not familiar enough really with the Kingfisher, but I, as I recall, the original submission talks about areas between 10 and 100 hectares.
Mm-hmm. The park-based area. Exactly, the check is not that difficult, but that's worth it in many ways.
It's not, well, have to be careful here because it's obviously a hydro lake, it's artificially raised, but I would assume that the natural character of the margins of the canyon is probably higher than the natural character of the, I'm not using the margins of the section 6, but section 6 but then the log to be.
I know what you're saying about that. Sort of space halfway through the motion from vertical cars and being rolling. And I suspect that's not the area where people will be wanting to do the FDA anyway.
Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're clustering becomes important because in the broad sphere it's so much development spread out. With a view around Queenstown, sometimes it might be better rather than having a cluster that might be quite prominent spread them down in Queenstown. And that would apply around the Canyon Central because of its similarity. I think my understanding of the FDA was more based around the McKenzie Basin. It doesn't, it's also increasing on the station up for that.
I suppose it's something that, having dealt with a number of resource consents, I do recognise that there is an issue for large land holders having to apply fully discretionary consent for farm resource accommodation, for example. Which, from a, yes, whereas if there were identified areas within each farm that they could undertake that sort of development, that would, that seems a reasonable thing.
There don't seem limited to what I've learned in this case, they don't seem limited to the problem with the farm worker accommodation. They might be usable for that, but they seem to go much further.
They request the rezoning of land within Harpo Bay to rural business zone. They're proposing bespoke rules, and while I consider that the bespoke rules proposed have merit in terms of the management potential adverse effects, I remain opposed to the full extent, the geographical extent of the proposed zone.
Well, really only this comes about the full extent. From what extent would be?
Yes, I've shown that in my treatment. I've kept on both of you just saying that they haven't having out read their evidence on the drawing, but it's been so good on what I suggest as an adequate maximum.
Excuse me. What was your original evidence?
I'm just wondering where it was you were concerned about that.
I think it's from our paper that I'm concerned about the disconnect between development, the maintenance development and transport. And what I can see in this is the consideration of what the year downstream transport demand created by this development.
In terms of accessing this particular site,
there was no road access.
So 99% of access, or 100% will be either by water or the exhaling or helicopter.
That's right.
So what are the implications of that?
Well, the implication is that we need to be sufficient capacity to provide that.
Which will presumably rely on. So if they're proposing to do it, I don't know, we could remind the developer to ensure that they can get these visitors ashore in some way.
Are you concerned about traffic implications in the middle of Queenstown?
No.
How you go
through it? The transport, as I was saying, so it's not something, I haven't narrowed my thoughts, it's just looking at rights.
Right.
So it is concerned that our kind of access.
Thank you.
Okay, so the next submission is the Yarnell Development Limited. So that's a really covered in summary, just before the program is approved.
Submission 6.7, page 15 from the Rural Visitor Zone at Walter's Station. And I consider that there are relief requests that could be granted in the past, but consider that the bespoke rules that they propose over the area I don't think should be rezoned are not appropriate.
Talk about the late margin, the intake margin of strip. Is it the late, is this one of those circumstances where the marginal strip has been overwhelmed by the late in places?
Well,
it doesn't have to be quite as short as it runs into the
late. I really couldn't say. My recollection of council GIS mapping doesn't suggest that I can recall, but there, I've noticed some very inaccurate things on the magnet that we're saying. Take a handful of salt, so. But it will presumably extend to the lake margin in the section 6A. Section 6C.
Yes, that's okay. I just wanted to clarify that. I mean, that doesn't really matter now that they've withdrawn the bulk of it.
Right.
It didn't even matter.
No.
Yeah.
Well,
I found
it
all now. So that's essentially the area that was forested with the slope of the creek. There was no water.
I believe so.
Oh,
I think
there are
plants and
conifers
still on.
Yes, there's a few things there,
but
nothing like what's shown on here.
No. All of the land that they've got, all of the, both of these two parties land that are administered by the Department of Conservation. Apparently.
And they have the use of them by some quite arrangement.
I have no idea.
He's had a good look at that one, sorry. I can move into the AMRTA Games Limited Commission. Dr. Reese, can you hear me,
please? Oh, right. Yes. This is the Tension 677 requested the rezoning of the entire refined station. And the north here adjacent to the South River. Rural business zone, rural lifestyle zone, rural with a visitor zone overlay. And while I recognise that there are areas within the where the zone might be appropriate, particularly around Kinloch, for example, the blanket zone of the entire property is closed.
Nothing about this particular station that can distinguish it from many others. Oh, sorry.
I oppose this submission by AMRTA Plan Limited to rezone Woodbine Station from rural to operative rural visitor or rural lifestyle and visitor accommodation overlay based on the regenerating indigenous vegetation on the site and lack of detail regarding the activities that may be associated with the rezoning proposal.
There must be many properties like this one. So that you could apply such a broad brush zoning code.
That you could apply.
Just quite, I mean, it's not talking about this
well, this station encompasses all of the data of flats from the, approximately the bridge over the Dart River right to the Lake plus the entire hillside above it. So it's visually extremely prominent.
Yeah.
We're talking about something like 1,000 hectares. The rural visitor zone provisions are very permissive. So we could end up with any sort of hodgepodge of development, which is my anxiety. It would certainly make sense to have some zoning in some parts of it perhaps, but that's not what's been requested. They've simply requested the plan to zone over the entire station.
Okay, no, I think my question would be, if you could do that for this station,
how
would that
be for
these
others? Well, I probably... I think that's also terrifying.
Doesn't it also work the other way though? Because you can do a discretionary activity in the rural zone, it can happen on every station anyway. Mm-hmm. The plan doesn't plan.
Yeah, okay.
No.
Requested a specific Queenstown Park special zone over the Queenstown Station forming home peak. Provide for rural residents and visitor accommodation, a gondola link-change tracking flats with remarkable ski trails, walking cycling tracks, commercial recreation and greater protection of the existing areas within the zone. I consider the primary concern is the landscape effects on one of the most prominent ONR outlook in the district that extends from the Kawarau River, which is identified in the Otago Regional Plan water as having outstanding value and has a water conservation order through to the mountaintops. Based on the evidence of this alpha, I consider that the proposal would not be appropriate. Can you explain that this mountaintop's given evidence? It would be significant economic benefits of the proposal. I consider that the rural zone provisions, as recommended in Council's right to reply to hearing 11, do provide for consideration of a gondola or passenger lift service as a restricted discretionary activity while providing the appropriate protection of the owned out. Also, I consider that the strategic chapters of the PDP can be summarised as directing that diversification of land classified as OL and tourism or residential activity should only occur at the scale or in a location where the landscape value, including the natural capabilities and rivers and emergence, are sustained, less not degraded. I consider that the rural zone is the most appropriate for achieving the strategic chapters and therefore the purpose of the RMA. In terms of proposed rules, many of the activities are proposed to be controlled activities or restricted discretionary activities with limited scope to decline. And these activities are to be exempt from multiplication consideration. However, I consider that given the importance of the landscape and the detailed understanding of the effects that comes through the resource consent process, that there should be the ability to decline the proposal and that the general test for multiplication should apply. I also have noted in my rebuttal evidence that I am concerned about the wording of the proposed rules, including the FIRE rules 44.7 and 44.8. I consider there is an element of environmental compensation in the proposal. It appears that by providing for activities that will have adverse effects on the ONL, other activities such as public walking tracks, cycling tracks, and better protection of DBNA will be achieved. The promoter also appears to suggest that by undertaking non-farming activities on the more productive areas of the farm, this avoids the environmental damage that would occur if these productive areas were intensively farmed. I consider that such environmental benefits should be able to be achieved without having to compromise nationally important landscape values. I also consider the values of the Kawarau River have been rather glossed over. The effect of a gondola, access road jetties and bridges on the character of the river have not, in my view, been fully considered. There also appears to be very little assessment of the location of the jetties and the bridges.
terms of the effect on the character of the river.
Mr. P. Ford from St. Patrick's has provided considerable information on the management of traffic to and from the site. My residual concerns relate to assumptions regarding the use of public roads for parking and to the impact of development on Boyd Road and the connection with the State Highway. With respect to parking, Mr. P. refers to parking for bonfire patrons within Frampton and Glade urban areas. The parking in Frampton urban area would, it appears, be provided on private land while the parking at Lakehaven Estate is to be provided in Rover Reserve. It is not clear what arrangements are in place to permit the use of the land areas referred to for parking. I doubt that the use of Rover Reserve for parking can be taken to Devon, though that would be a decision of the council. With respect to roading, the P refers to a rule in the proposed Queenstown Park Station Zone provisions, Rule 4452, that would provide that any residential winter accommodation within the rural winter or rural residential areas prior to the upgrade of the Boyd Road State Highway 6 intersection is non-compliant. I support this approach, but consider that we need transport agency to be able to submit on resource and feed applications affecting the area resource use zone, and that the council have the ability to impose traffic and transportation conditions in any consent granted.
And the comments?
Paragraphs 13 through 15, Queenstown Park Limited submission notice 6 requests the Queenstown Zone be Queenstown Station be rezoned from rural zone to Queenstown Park special zone. My evidence in chief opposed part of the submission based on a lack of detail regarding activities that may occur in the balance land of the QPSZ. Based on evidence submitted by QPL and RPL, I have reconsidered my view given the proposed provisions in the QPSZ, including A. Prohibiting the grazing of cattle in the four SNAs. B. Control over stocking rates in the vicinity of the SNAs, with the inclusion of discretionary activity regime for the stocking rates above 3 stock units per hectare. And C. A requirement for the drafting of comprehensive development plans for the rural visitor activity areas. The CDP is a restricted discretionary activity that, among other things, provides council with discretion over vegetation clearance. I consider this provision will mitigate risks to ecological values associated with development activities and proposed rural visitor activity areas. The cattle grazing and stocking rate provisions are controls that provide a greater level of protection to the SNAs that are not provided for under the rural zone. Finally, I have noted an additional provision in the QPSZ regarding council control over the installation of new farm tracks, fire breaks and recreational trails less than 2 metres in width. From an ecological perspective, it is possible that farm tracks less than 2 metres wide could remove locally and regionally rare plants and threatened plants that are present on the property. In my view, a controlled planning framework for these activities would provide better protection for these species, whereby council's control will be confined to effects on ecological values.
Mr.
Butts,
in paragraph 31 of your summary, which talks about balance of environmental compensation. Do you have any views on whether, in the light of King Salmon's decision, environmental compensation in an ONL can provide compensation for something which is not a matter of national importance? Like a watery crack for a landscape.
Can you just repeat that question?
Given the Queensland decision about the premiums of Section 6, whether compensation provided by firms which are not matters of national importance on Section 6 is an appropriate way to go. Do you have any views on that?
But you're right. Maybe I shouldn't have classified public water track as a kind of compensation.
Well, I mean, I'm just wondering I want to discuss with you what you see as the compensation aspect and whether in reality there is any.
Maybe environmental compensation is not entirely true, but I see that the submitter has suggested that these activities that you provide for walking track, cycling track, better protection of his name will be achieved through this zoning as positive, as against the negative of the development of the land and the parts of the treaty area.
Isn't there an imperative in section 6C to protect SNAs anyway?
Well, that's my point, that the most appropriate way to achieve protection by allowing development. I don't agree with
that. Right.
And similarly for the protecting water quality through not intensively developing farmland. And that can be achieved not rather than by building on top of it, it can be achieved through other methods. Probably that decision, but
the point there that more of the man's only to an extent, I think it's very unlikely to be achieved.
Which thing are
very is that a protection of the SNA or the water quality?
I'm very likely to be.
It's realistic. It's a bit unrealistic to think that the present management is much progress is going to be made on this.
On protecting water quality.
Yeah, and particularly if you're looking at that what happens.
Well, I think that's a matter for what? Well, it's not just a matter of this location, it's a matter of throughout the whole country, officially. And it can be dealt. I don't know. My opinion, this is not the most appropriate way to address this by providing it to the government. It can be addressed, it should be addressed through, but it might ultimately be controlled over the task of time.
But stepping back from the most appropriate way, what would be going to try to say if they are a way or
I agree with that.
Yeah. Well, that is not environmental compensation, but at least a form of positive effect.
But there's also the possibility that they could more intensively fund that using methods that could not, that may protect water quality. Whether it's very good advantage, different types of sharing soil or whatever technological is, but on the land here.
I have a question for Mr. David. Mr. David, from paragraph 14, where you say that cattle shopping. Cattle grazing and something like this and gold that provides for great protection for the SNA. Then why Creek? That wasn't an offer to you, that wasn't open to you, was it? Because it wasn't offered. But it seems to me that then why in the White Creek one you're saying that the rural zone was a better protection than having a rural visitor or whatever, whatever.
White Creek was, you talk about the SNA in White Creek?
Yeah. Lots in the station, wasn't it?
Sorry, lots in the
there you said rural zoning was a better form of protection than the change of zoning. And here you're saying that... What's the best way in a rural zone to protect an SMA, given that people have just a new site for grazing cattle into the north and
stuff? It's pretty difficult. And in fact, the SMA's... the council really has no control over implementing any controls over managing those SNAs on farms. They've been with the study, other than controls over clearing them,
the council really doesn't have any emphasis to try and look after them per se, other than, you know, reducing the amount that you can clear, essentially.
Yeah, the positive aspect of management can't be mandated by rules and patents, only the person that you may not chop it down enough.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you.
I just have a question also for Mr. Manga. It's about the discussed in your summary that's in your rebuttal as well, but in terms of the parking in Lake Hayes, and you said on the streets up here, presumably that's Woodland Place. Have you given any consideration to the traffic effects of people actually getting to that parking?
No, I haven't.
Do you have any concerns about the traffic effects of that?
The turn off onto the interstate pad these days has been a question for the local discussion about safety. So, in terms of the additional traffic, there could be considerations around there that could be the main effect in terms of capacity of that local road network. That to me would not be an issue.
But really it was the state highway connection that put it in at a sure thing in the hospital.
Yes.
When you look at the rural residential pods and the are any of those or several of those capable of being absorbed into the OEL? Not in other words, would you consider parts of the package rather than just the whole package in the central review?
Would have been here.
Road and drop down. You have to be there. I know you're talking about what you could have.
Yes, he will be, and I was looking the same, I think it was the
time. I don't think it would be Mr. Manny today.
No.
Then.
I was just looking at that.
Yes, that's what I was saying.
He said that.
Yeah.
And the next thing is you just do one of
these. Yes, that would probably.
Although, not.
In that case?
Yes, I wonder if it's a good time.
To take them to?
Sure.
Yes, before you move on to
the next. Thank you.